Saturday is Sunday, 11 July 2021. We shall be continuing from this book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. We are at page 55. We will go through all this when it comes to the actual taking of the Bodhisattva vow next week. That was based on that time, because we actually schedule it to be 1 week later. We will recite, this nature of my further vows with utmost sincerity, faith, and perseverance to walk to perfection this Bodhisattva way. We are initially taking the four basic vows of a Bodhisattva. This means this nature of my vows to liberate the countless living beings from samsara and take them all across to the other shore. And this nature of my vow to endure and severe all vexation and suffering, followed by this nature of my vows to cultivate and penetrate all Dhamma to realize the perfection of all wisdom. And finally, this nature of my vows to perfect the 10 paramitas or perfections to realize the unsurpassed Sama Sambuddhahood. So this is a more complete one. There are additional vows to clear all karmic obstructions. So this one also very important to bring about the way. The first one is to ask for forgiveness from the triple gem itself. This one is very important. And this is the most important. Because triple gem, if you offended the triple gem, the karmic obstruction is very, very severe, really severe. So if you don't ask for forgiveness, it can hinder your cultivation very seriously. So we recite it this way. If by action, speech or thought, whether knowingly or unknowingly, we are ignorant, delusion or heedlessness, this nature of mind has offended or done anything wrong out to the triple gem, the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha, this nature of mind would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness. You have to do this. Because the moment you ask for forgiveness, it will connect to the nature's law. Because the triple gem and all those great beings, they have already forgiven every living beings via their pure wish or aspiration. You only need to request. Then after that, the second one is, whosoever from the distant past until now, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that this nature of ours or mine has caused any coming negativity, misery and suffering or misled, this nature of mine would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness from them all. May my sincere request for forgiveness be accepted by all, so that all this coming obstruction can be amicably dissolved or watered down or lessened, thereby enabling this nature of mine to continue with its cultivation to realize the true Dhamma with ease. Then this nature of mine also vow to repent, and from now onwards, vow never to repeat any of this coming negativity born of greed, hatred and delusion, by following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good and purify the mind via striving on with heedfulness to keep the five precepts and cultivate the Bodhisattva way diligently, so that it will never violate this law of karma whenever it arises. Then finally, to invoke the power of merits. By the power of whatever merits or wholesomeness that this nature of mine had cultivated since the distant past until now, may arise the causes and conditions for this nature of mine to have the ability to overcome all my karmic obstruction or obstacle amicably, so that this nature of mine will be able to gain back its life to walk the path of Dhamma to realize the fulfillment of all its bodhisattva vows. Karmic obstruction are very powerful. If you don't invoke power of marriage for causes and conditions, chances are when we come, we will still be obstructed. Like many of you have already known, sometimes you misled people for many lives in the past, yet you don't know. You don't even know. Then the karmic friction can trigger off karmic obstruction later on. This is how you develop the cultivation. Then there are other miscellaneous laws to enhance the cultivation. I will go through with you later on. Then the final note is about the cultivation of the 10 perfections. They are generosity or dhanaparami, sila or morality, then renunciation or nikama, then wisdom or panya, virya or spiritual zeal, patient endurance, which is kanti, then truthfulness is satya, adhitana or determination and affirmation. This one is also very important, followed by loving kindness or metta and upeka. These are the important things that we will do on the 26th of April 2016. Okay, Padmasri, I will pass you the original copy for you to help for the stat 80 sets. Don't dispute until that day. If you want to photostat additional copy to keep, you can. But please don't abuse it. And don't simply pass to people who don't understand, because they may create negativity or karma without them realizing it. If they simply comment without understanding, they are going to get into serious trouble. We didn't do anything. These are nature's law. So if you don't have the condition to receive them, or they don't have the understanding to appreciate what this is, then please don't try to help. If there are no conditions, then just forget about it. All these people who have the condition will appear, and they will have their own condition to come into contact with these teachings. They will approach us to receive it. Otherwise, don't try and don't think that this can help everybody and you want to promote it. No, it's not meant for them. It is for you only, because you have the condition and you are serious. You will progress very fast. You will benefit tremendously from it. Okay, now we will go back. Oh, sorry, go into the book proper. Huh? I will read the foreword to you. For those who have the e-copy that I have sent out to you, you can refer to it. Turn to the foreword page. This booklet consists of a series of talks on the Bodhisattva precepts by Master Sanyan Pastor, given at the Zen Meditation Center in New York from December 6 to 8, 1997. This is what is written in the foreword. We sincerely hope that these commentaries on the Bodhisattva precepts will provide the reader with a clear understanding of its meaning, as well as the inspiration to integrate this teaching into their life. The reason why you have to integrate Dhamma into your life is because it is a living Dhamma, not a theoretical Dhamma or knowledge-based Dhamma. Otherwise, it is not the true Dhamma. It is understanding which can only be cultivated in the midst of life. And you can realize it because it stands up to it, investigation. We wish to acknowledge separate individuals for their help in producing this booklet. We are the people whom we have acknowledged. Sorry, we are the people. Oh, sorry, these are the people whom they have acknowledged, mainly those who are responsible for the translation. Oh, okay. Means the booklet from Fakusan. There is a Guo Gu. He is responsible for translation. Then Simeon Galu, organization and editorial assistant. The International Affair Office, Damodar Mountain, January 2005. This book was printed in the year 2005, about 11 years ago. At that time, it was 2016. Okay, please turn to the next page on introduction. There's a saying in Mahayana Buddhism, those who have precepts to break are bodhisattvas. So I ask, do you agree? They are so serious, and that's the reason why they have precepts to break, because it's very difficult not to break them. And when you have these vows, which are so heavy. That's why the Buddha is very wise. He never said, thou shalt not. He said, we undertake the training rule to abstain from breaking them. It is true and understanding. Then they continue. Those who have no precepts to break are out of path. So this one is obvious. Huh? So I asked, do you know what is out of path? White Tao in Mandarin is White Tao. It means not following the Buddha Dharma. It's an external path teaching based on understanding. Sorry, based on their understanding. There are many Buddhists know that receiving the Bodhisattva precepts generate great merit. So this is very important. Huh? You are able to receive the Bodhisattva precept. That itself alone can generate great merits. And I said, see, when you receive this Bodhisattva vows, you generate such great merits. Yet they believe this without a real understanding of the profound meaning of the precepts. Then I continue, I said, that's why you must do it with understanding. You must receive it with understanding. Or what does keeping this precept entail? They receive the precept as a matter of course, knowing only that receiving them is a good thing to do. To try to remedy this situation, we are conducting the transmission of the Bodhisattva precepts over the course of 3 days, so that prior to the formal transmission ceremony, I can explain to all participants the meaning and significance of this precept within the Mahayana tradition. So this explanation is very good. Then I continue. So you must understand clearly why you take all these precepts. This book has a lot of good advice. Master Sun Yan has developed and come out with it, but he didn't explain how does all these precepts come about. It is from right view with regards to the Nietzsche's law of karma, and it comes from the advice of all Buddhas, which we have gone through. The Buddha first advice is to avoid all evil. We are keeping our precept. Also, who are the ones who will violate the precept? If you check all the precepts, those who violate these precepts are evil people. They have the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why to avoid all evil, you must keep the minimum basic 5 precepts. For violating them can give rise to very severe coming offense. That's why you must not allow your former mind, whenever it arises, to violate this precept. It must not kill or cause harm to fellow living beings. It must not steal, cheat, or deceive, or take things that do not belong to them. It must not have wrong speech. They must not tell lies. They must not backbite. And they must not give rise to harsh or angry and deluded speech. They must not speak frivolously. So these are the four types of wrong speech. Do inquire who kill and who harm. Those who harm and kill are selfish, deluded, and violent people who are evil. Violent means having emotional negativity like anger, hatred, envy, and jealousy. That's why they are capable of killing and causing harm to fellow living beings. They can also bring about war. And all of these are due to delusion. Then you can go on to check the other precepts. They are the same. Who steal? They are greedy people, selfish people, and deluded people. Those who commit sexual misconduct, they are lustful people. Lustfulness is part of greed and hatred or delusion. They are even willing to sacrifice their family unit's happiness or harmony, peace and love, just for some short moments of cheap thrill or fun, due to their lust. When you don't have this understanding, you become deluded and make a lot of mistakes. Then the law of karma is you reap what you sow. Hence, in the future, you will become the victim. Now you do this to people. In future, you become the victim. When people do that to you, you complain. You say, how can my spouse or my husband do this to me? But in the past, when you did it, you did that to others. You never asked the same question of how can I do this to fellow living beings? That's why as a bodhisattva, you can never do this because you come from the living beings. You keep your precepts. You keep your vows. You hold on to them with understanding. So likewise for the other precepts, they are the same. When you partake in intoxicant, you make your consciousness very low. Then you will fall. That's why it will arise, the condition for you to break all the other four precepts. This can be very dangerous. Through delusion, this can happen. That's why delusion will lead to greed, hatred, and delusion, covering anger, envy, jealousy, selfishness, etc. Then I will read on. Each participant on the fan. Each participant, after understanding what keeping this precept involved, is free to decide for himself or herself whether or not to take them. In this situation, many participants in the past did decide to take the precept, meaning the bodhisattva precepts, and were able to happily commit themselves to the bodhisattva way. Transmitting the precept in this way, we are allowing aspirants to take them in good conscience and with proper understanding can help aspirant plant the seeds of Bodhi for Buddhahood with no feeling of compulsion or guilt in their mind. The virtue in vowing to observe the bodhisattva precept enable us to practice or cultivate the Buddha Dhamma diligently, leading to purification of mind. The code of behavior may also help us interact with others in a more peaceful and harmonious way. If we can purify the action of our body, speech, and mind through cultivating the three sets of pure precept, the five precept and the 10 meritorious action, then with wisdom, such cultivation or practice has given us, we can banish or eradicate craving, covetousness, anger, and all other afflictive emotions. With a bodhisattva's mind of compassion, we can accept and cherish all sentient beings. And by purifying our own conduct, we can help to transform society at large. Even in the midst of life, every sentient being can attain the altruistic mind, Bodhi mind, and also help others arouse this awakened mind of wisdom. The combination of vows and precepts that we are transmitting here include the four great vows. That's why we have the three sets of pure precepts, the four great vows. The three sets of pure precepts, the five precepts, and the ten good deeds are quite available to everyone. There is ample flexibility in practicing the three sets of pure precepts, so long as their fundamental principles are the same, is adhered to. These precepts can be adopted to the different situation that a practitioner of the Buddhist way or Bodhisattva way may encounter. Such flexibility makes this precept relatively easy to cultivate for a wide variety of people, as this precept also functions as guideline for wholesome behavior for Buddhists. The commitment for cultivating them is a valuable undertaking for all practitioners. I dare not change the content of the Bodhisattva precept, nor do I have the virtue necessary to invent new ones. I have simply referred to the various system of Bodhisattva precepts in both the Chinese and Tibetan tradition, and adopted them. Yeah, I read again. I have simply referred to the various system of Bodhisattva precepts in both the Chinese and Tibetan tradition, and adopted them to fit the needs of modern practitioners. In doing so, my hope is to promote and actualize. To promote the actualization of the spirit of the Bodhisattva precepts, and I encourage all practitioners to receive and practice them. So this is very important. Always remember, we have nothing to lose. So don't listen to what people say and what the thought tells you. Like, are you serious? This is serious matter. This is not for me or for you. Nothing to do with all this. Do you understand? Just ask yourself, what have I got to lose by taking the Bodhisattva vows? I have nothing to lose but everything to gain, right? And I can develop much understanding from it. The views can guide me along and give me all the understanding to connect, to develop affinity with the Buddha, with all the Buddhas, great bodhisattvas, and to connect to their nature so that they can always protect, bless, and guide me. Then we can develop profound wisdom. Then I can develop profound gratitude and respect towards them. Then all the wholesomeness will arise for you to strengthen your resolve to transform the spiritual faculties into spiritual powers. From then on, you will progress very fast. Then you will determine to do all this because you have benefited from all these beings that go this way. Do you understand? It is your turn now. If you have the condition and the understanding to go this way, so that in future you can also benefit other living beings by playing your role. Whenever you do all this, you are not doing it for living beings, because the nature's law of karma is such, you reap what you sow. Hence, whatever you do or have perfected is for your own nature. That's why in future, if you come, you will receive all this wholesomeness because it is just like what I used to share with you when my nature came. How come everything just fall into place and come together? And how come this nature of mine could receive the Buddha Dharma so easily and so fast? Sometimes the teacher or guide, whoever who spoke the truth, had not realized or penetrated those truths. But this nature of mine just listened and he understood and penetrated the truth. This is because this is the way this nature has been giving and sharing for so many lives, eons and eons. That's why when it came, it can receive equally fast. That's the reason why whatever wholesomeness you do, it must come back to your nature, because you reap what you sow. If you plant the seed of wholesomeness, goodness, virtue, you will receive the fruit of virtue and wholesomeness. In Mandarin, it's even more beautiful. That is why the law of karma is such. You plant the condition, you will receive the result, the fruit of it. You plant the seed of virtue, you will reap the fruit of virtue. You plant the seed of evil, you will reap the affliction of suffering and evil. This is the law of karma, and it will just manifest. That's why between the two, which will you choose? Do you want to choose to plant the seed of heedlessness to your delusion? Or otherwise, if you do that, then your karmic nature will fall. You will become miserable life after life whenever you come. The choice is very obvious, isn't it? If you want to plant the seed of wholesomeness and virtue, then what must you do? You must train your mind to be heedful, to understand what constitutes evil. Then you have to keep your precept, because this is the law of karma. You reap what you sow. So do good begets good. Do evil begets evil. The reason why you have to do this is because according to Lord Buddha, there is a nature's law, and each and every living being is born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. If you still don't wake up to this right view and determine to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil and do good so that you can take care of your karma, you are going to have a lot of suffering and affliction in future. Even if you start cultivating now, it's going to take you quite a while to clean up all these karmic negativities. But this good condition can from now on give rise to more wholesome karmic friction. With little or no more evil karma, then only can you have the causes and conditions to plant this goodness over a long period of time, so that in future, whenever you come, you don't have to pay back anywhere of those karmic negativity born of evil action. So whatever negativity or karma, I read the last paragraph again. Even if you start cultivating now, it's going to take you quite a while to clean up all this karmic negativity. But this good condition can from now onward give rise to more wholesome karmic friction with little or no more evil karma. Then only can you have the causes and condition to plant this goodness over a longer period of time, so that in future, whenever you come, you don't have to pay back any more of those karmic negativity born of evil action. So whatever negativity of karma left, it will be very mild. Like recently, then my left leg had problem because the muscle developed spasm. It was meant to be the treatment by Brother Vincent. Took 1.5 hours and I had to endure the pain, which I endured. Brother Vincent, he is like a doctor, Chinese sensei, came twice to my house and I had a lot of gratitude towards him and I thank him. But I would rather take this pain in this physical form, on this physical body, via this way rather than to have it pay back through an accident landing up in hospital, which will be a lot worse, instead of having severe bodily injuries. You just take it through a different way, which is a lot milder. This cultivation can bring about this understanding for you to avoid some of the karmic negativities. This is possible because you know how to break your karmic obstruction first. Then you vow to repent and not to repeat all this. You also know how to invoke power of merits for you to go the right way. In future, after that, all your cultivation will be in accordance with the law of nature or law of karma, and your progress will be all the way forward. No more falling back. Then life after life, you will accumulate a lot of blessing, virtue, and understanding until you can hardly commit any evil. So true cultivators of the way of Bodhisattva, they are very unique. They are very different. That's why with this understanding, when you take the Bodhisattva vow and go this way, you become very different. Your cultivation become very different. Your wisdom also grow and become very extensive and comprehensive. So all these are very important understanding. Eh? Okay, there is one more part. Eh? Oh, I finish up there. Okay, this life when I came, I realized I have very little karmic debt to pay back. And they were relatively mild or minor. Even though minor, they were still there. But comparatively, I felt like very blessed because everything went my way. It was like I was very well protected everywhere, every moment, every instant while going through life. This is possible because I understand the teaching and know how to invoke power of merits and vows, develop affinity with all the great beings and their nature to protect, guide, and bless me. My nature. All these are very important understanding. I shall read on. The source of compassion, love, kindness, and compassion are the very foundation of Buddhism. From a general perspective, these virtues correspond to similar values held in many other religious tradition and spiritual practices. However, in Buddhism, genuine love and compassion arise from a penetrative insight into the true nature of our own existence. That's the reason why when we can understand ourselves, we can understand others and are thereby more firmly grounded in a practitioner's experience. So that is the big difference. Eh? We can understand this from two perspectives. First, from the perspective of interdependence, we see that no phenomena in the world, whether material or mental, exists independently of other phenomena. All beings and things are intimately related to one another through cause and condition or cause and effect. All of the activity engaged in by a seemingly independent entity are actually connected to and affected by the activities of other entities in an intricate, infinite network. Everything that exists relies on innumerable, apparently external factors for their existence. Separation from this vast system of connection among all things would make existence impossible. This is the profound reality of the nature of this world we live in. That's why nature's law is also the reality of our own individual lives as we live them. We are all connected to each other and to all living beings, both sentient and insentient. On a human scale, we can see the truth of interdependence in the fact that no person can live entirely apart from society. We depend on the assistance of other human beings for everything we have, from the basic necessity of life such as food, clothing, and shelter, up to the various forms of knowledge and skill that we acquire, and to the sense of satisfaction and fulfillment we derive from our job, our career. If we are fortunate to live in a relatively stable society, we should know that much of the order and stability in our daily life depends on the structure of our society and on the work of other people in all sorts of public institutions. Similarly, global interrelationship and the mutual influence between different nations and cultures are often demonstrated in fields like economics, political science, and cultural studies. So the way how Master Sun Yan look at all this is quite good. But on a bigger picture, it is of course nature's law, which he didn't mention. On a larger scale, countless other forms of life, both sentient and insentient, have either direct or indirect influence on the well-being, on our well-being. Also, from the viewpoint of the Buddhist belief in innumerable past life and future birth, each of us must have in countless previous lives once lived in very close, direct connection to every other sentient beings. All these other beings could have been our parents, our mother, our father, our sisters, and our brother. Each one, at one point or another, has been the cause of our happiness. With this sort of outlook, how can we not have sympathy and concern for all sentient beings? We can only feel a deep sense of responsibility and gratitude towards them. Such gratitude in turn engenders genuine care and love that gives beyond an individual's love for his and her family, race or nation. This sort of love extends to all living beings everywhere, springing from the very knowledge that we are truly all one big family. A better way to explain this is the Buddha's explanation, he said. Do you know how many repeated birth and death he have undergone since the beginning? Let's first start our ignorance. We have shed more tears than the water in the four oceans. Do you know how long that is? Every life, how much tears can you shed? Very likely it's only 1 gallon or less. And in the four oceans, do you know how many gallons of seawater there are? Let me tell you, it's amazing. That's the reason why we could have been related in some way. But through karma and countless birth, rebirth, we might have forgotten. That's why when they are born as our child, children, you think, wow, my children, actually it's your coming debtor that came back to ask for your coming debt. That's why in Mahayana, they said it is yan qing zai zu. But you still think they are your children. And you may say, what can I do? He is my son, he is my daughter. Then his son and his children will say, he has to give in because he is my papa. Last time you see them, make them miserable, but you didn't know. Now they swindle you back. But because of karma, you will willingly give it back to them, thinking that they are your children. Yet you will become so miserable because of what they did to you, and you cannot do anything about it because you say, they are my children. That's why they have to be your children, so that you will pay them back willingly. So this is what the law of karma is all about. So when you understand all this, you better make sure you have this right view, to follow the advice of the Buddha, and to take care of karma. You are not trapped in the physical form. You cannot experience the suffering. Through delusion, you reap what you sow. In the past, when you cause suffering and misery to others, you don't know because you are heedless. So through nature's law of karma, the friction will come about. And when you understand nature's law, you will never violate this law of karma. There is never worthwhile to do so. I used to tell Kayamita, it's never worthwhile to violate any of this karmic law, especially the five basic precepts. You will have to hold on to them very seriously because it's never worthwhile to violate them. It will show it to you in your cultivation. The moment you try something funny, it hits back immediately. Karma is so powerful. Cultivator of the way will determine to have this understanding life after life when they come. And they will connect very fast. They will never violate any of this moral causation or law of karma because they understand it's never worthwhile to do so. Okay, we will go on. I think we stop here. It's almost 4 o'clock. Okay, we are at page 64, so we stop there. You can have your 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. So I will off the light so that you all can have your 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. So the instructions are the same. Just relax, maintain awareness to stabilize the awareness nature for as long as you can. Then use it to meditate. Silence your mind completely. Just let things be. Be a silent observer. When you are completely silent, without thought, find out who are you, what are you. That is your true nature. So you need to stabilize that nature to understand clearly how beautiful that nature is, and from there how all things arise. Then you will be able to distinguish between the two minds very clearly. That's the beginning of understanding. When you can have that, my nature rejoices. Thank you. Secondly, from the perspective of equality of conditions, all of this infinitely varied sorts of interrelations and connection among sentient beings and insentient beings give rise to a multitude of individual traits and distinctions. However, since these seemingly unique and distinct entities are all contingent upon one another, not one of them can be said to exist autonomously and permanently in and of itself. This is the nature of emptiness. As we penetrate the depth of this conditionality through contemplation and the cultivation of genuine compassion, we can understand personally and directly that all phenomena are empty of any inherent separate nature of their own, because they are dependent originating. We are living in an existential of causal phenomena. This essence or empty nature of existence of all things reveals their likeness, their profound similarity with the realization of the non-dual equal nature of existence, which is the experience of wisdom and unbound desire to help and benefit all beings indiscriminately, were then well up in our heart. So this coming Friday, 22nd, April 2016, it was at that time when the talk was given. I will be giving a Dhamma talk in Klang with the title, The Three Universal Characteristics of Nature. This talk will benefit you a lot more because I will explain all this more clearly in the Dhamma talk. All this come about through the very penetrative insight into the three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, and non-self or empty nature. As real as can be, is only within the moment, and how stable is the present moment. Split second is dead and gone, and why do you still hold on to it? Ultimately, it's just a thought, nothing else. And what is a thought? It arises and passes away, arises and passes away. To delusion, living being cling. That's why it has power to afflict them and make them so miserable. That's why human beings go into depression, commit suicide over what? Over the things they cannot let go of, or they cannot come to terms with. When you understand this, it can be very beautiful. But when you don't understand, it can torment you, afflict you, and make you miserable. So the Dhamma is very, very important. Without Dhamma, life is pretty tough and difficult. With Dhamma, it's beautiful and wonderful. In the Maya tradition, all sentient beings are identical in nature to Buddha. All sentient beings have the potential to realize the full enlightenment and manifest Buddhahood. A person walking the path to full Buddhahood must cultivate deep compassion for all living beings or sentient beings, as if they were of one body with himself or herself. This is not wishful thinking, but rather a sincere motivation to inspire our action and compel us to live humanely in the world. When other sentient beings suffer in the depth of confusion, it is as if we ourselves are suffering too. But the lack of wisdom to help either ourselves or others will motivate them to perfect themselves further. We are walking the Bodhisattva way. This genuine concern and selfless love do not come from anyone or anything external, but rather from our own insight into the nature of our own existence. Such insight is the ethical impulse of an enlightened being. It is both the motivation and the source of inner strength of a Bodhisattva. So this is what Master Shen Yan's point of view, based on his understanding. Ultimately, you can be different when you have the actual understanding, because there is no mark of a self-cultivating or of living beings. They are within the conditioned world, and only the form and mind are subject to all this. But he didn't explain all this And that's the reason why he just used his own understanding to express it. That's why he said, when other sentient beings suffer in the depth of confusion, he used this word. It is as if we ourselves are suffering too. You won't have that delusion when you vow to liberate all living beings. You do not purposely with desire and craving vow to help and liberate. No. When there is no condition, nothing will be done or nothing can arise. But when there are conditions, that love, that compassion, that understanding will manifest, will extend to all irrespective of who they are. Do you understand? Because you know everything is condition arising, causal phenomena, he know you, he know me. Hence, there is no reality. You do not favor anything because relationship is for the form and mind within the existential world. The law of karma recognizes relationship, but not ultimate truth or ultimate understanding. That's why the cultivation is very different. But what he has written is a very good guide. We shall continue. But who is the Bodhisattva? For any Buddhist practitioner, the ultimate purpose of practice is to attain complete enlightenment or Buddhahood. To achieve this very lofty goal, we work to cultivate wisdom and accumulate merits. Through this practice, we are able to benefit both ourselves and others. This practice is precisely the task of a follower of the Bodhisattva way or path, as put forth in the three sets of pure precepts, which we undertake to hold in the transmission ceremony, to accrue merits, to realize wisdom, and to benefit all sentient beings. Through the diligent cultivation of wisdom and merits, the Bodhisattva practitioner will attain Buddhahood. In other words, walking the Bodhisattva path is the cause of Buddhahood. Buddhahood is the result of having accomplished the Bodhisattva practice. In Buddhist circle, we hear the word Bodhisattva frequently. Among Chinese educated Buddhists, Bodhisattva is translated as Pusa in Mandarin and is commonly used simply as a title to address a fellow practitioner. It is also often used by monastic as a honorific when speaking to a lay person. They used to say everybody is a Pusa. If you have love and compassion to be a blessing to all, literally you are a Bodhisattva Pusa. They always say the heart of a Pusa who has the great love and compassion can selflessly serve and benefit other living beings when they are conditioned. But on the other hand, non-Buddhists visit a Buddhist monastery may think that Pusa are the statue placed on the altar, the one that is within society in the midst of life, are the living Bodhisattva, means Ren Jian Pusa, like those that Shiji manifest. Means Bodhisattva in the midst of society. In short, many people, both Buddhists and non-Buddhists alike, do not know the true significance of the term Bodhisattva. Therefore, clarification of this term is essential for our understanding of what the Bodhisattva practice entails. Formed by the conjunction of two Sanskrit words, meaning enlightenment and sentient being respectively. The word Bodhisattva denotes an enlightened sentient being. Enlightened refers to the quality of having achieved to some degree enlightenment, awakening, and understanding, or mindfulness training. This concept has a very rich multifaceted meaning. with many nonsense. Sentient beings refer to a living being who experience the world through sentient feeling, sensation, and emotion. Thus, Bodhisattva can be understood as having four levels of meaning. First, the being described by this word aspires upward to attain supreme wisdom or enlightenment, to become Sammasambuddha. Second, this being aspires to do this in order to bring genuine benefit to all sentient beings, so that they too will attain enlightenment. Thirdly, each Bodhisattva seeks to fully awaken to his or her own intrinsic nature or Buddha nature. Fourth, while striving for this kind of full awakening, a Bodhisattva strives just as hard to awaken all the innumerable sentient beings to the same Buddha nature intrinsic to each and everyone. By considering these four levels of meaning together, we come to the following definition of a Bodhisattva. A person who aspires to Buddhahood while seeking to enlighten all sentient beings on along the path. This is his way of defining a Bodhisattva, which is very good. What I've explained just now is more important. When you have the condition to have this understanding, you must aspire, because it is going to help you in a great way. So that life after life, this understanding will stay with you. This life you must put into practice, cultivate, investigate, and see the beauty of it, means this teaching, and realize how it has helped you to understand and transform your life and make you so different. With this, you will know, even before the true awakening, that this is the way, and it will bring forth the causes and conditions for you to awaken. That's why you will determine life after life, because you know it will never go wrong. After you have understood this teaching, then you put it into practice. You realize your life has completely changed. Your understanding has also changed, and you are now so different. The self-centered, self-delusion and sakkayadity regarding this form and mind is no more. When you understand clearly what the form and mind is, that is, it is not you, but only a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for you to come this segmented life, for you to come into this existence. Then you will use it appropriately and not be deluded by it anymore. That's why in the vows, which I will help you invoke the power of merits or causes and conditions for you to successfully plant within the Bodhi mind this understanding, life after life, whenever you arise. Either you choose to arise or you have to arise. It's either you choose to come or you have to come. This is very important, because the conditions started at the Cameron Highland Retreat. Otherwise, all this wouldn't happen. Do you remember on the second last day before we went back the next day, we actually recited all this Bodhisattva vow. Then all of a sudden, Sister Joyce recited Om Mehmi Pemi Hom. It was so powerful, her voice. Kuan Yin's nature was so powerful. When the condition just arose, and I invoked on behalf of all Kayamita this vow, to have this understanding, life after life, whenever you all come. It just happened, because there were conditions then. There was no intention to do it, because this nature knows if there is no condition, it cannot happen. The nature of mind cannot just want to help you do it. Do you understand? It's like the Buddha. He can share the understanding with you, but you all have to walk the path yourself. You have to awaken yourself. But when there is condition for things to happen, it's very different. Because of your parami, your faith, the group's collective consciousness, and those great beings' nature and condition then. So what happens is, when the condition all fall into place, things will happen. It will arise, and this nature just understands and it manifests. That's why everything falls into place. Then when I came back, I realized it was all meant to be. This was because of the many things that happened. Then I realized this had to happen. Because at the beginning of last year, 2015, the request for the Bodhisattva Way cultivation started. On the first and second day of that year, we had our first gathering to introduce this Bodhisattva Way cultivation. Many Kayamita had already written to me during the end of the previous year, 2014, requesting for this sharing. Simultaneously, during those weeks, there were so many requests. Then I reply and say, okay, I will agree to have this special session. We had a special puja at that time. We had the sharing of the Bodhisattva Way. At that time, I didn't open up the session to all Kayamita as yet because I thought not everybody was ready. It was only for the serious ones or cultivator. Then after that, over the last 1 year plus, so many things actually happened. Like what I had explained in the final summary of the Satipatthana Sutta, the yellow book, transcript book. The condition for all those things to happen were there. Please do read through the yellow transcript book. It explains clearly how all these teachings come about. The Kayamita requested for the Diamond Sutta to be shared. They also requested for the Six Patria Platform Sutta to be shared. And before that, they also had the Surangama Sutta and the Heart Sutta with all the short notes taken and shared. That's why it's all like meant to be. Everything just fall into place and it was really meant to be. That's the reason why all this could happen. So I hope you understand how blessed you are because of the condition. And do make full use of it. So that after this life, everything is taken care of. All of your future life, even if you choose to come or have to come, this understanding will be with you and you will not fall. Hope you all understand. This teaching and cultivation is not easy if you don't have the affinity and condition with the Triple Gem. It is also impossible or near to impossible to receive them. Without the sasana, you can forget about it. Only a handful, the great bodhisattva and all those cultivators of the way who really have this understanding can survive. Apart from that, hardly anyone can make it. But because of condition during this sasana, many will make it. Okay, we will go on with the sharing. How to overcome difficulties. I want to skip some of this because there is not much time left. Okay, I think we stop here. Page 68, we stop here. Okay, because we need to have more time for Q&A, meditation reporting. So page 68, I will mark this page. Okay, then we will open up for meditation reporting, followed by question and Dhamma discussion, or whoever who want to share about your cultivation, your experience, especially Dhamma in daily life.
Yeah, as you were saying, everything all start with condition. No condition, yeah. Nothing happens.
Yes, true.
No condition, nothing happened. You can see for yourself where else this, a lot of people are saying, okay, these things shouldn't come out, this pandemic shouldn't come out, whatever, whatever. But this has happened, it happened, it happened, it happened. You
that
cannot
is the
set
reality. Yeah, that is the
the reality.
Reality
is life, this is happening, you see. People say, no, no way, no, people don't hide, or people in prison. But now we are like prison, you see, even your own house, you see. So
yes,
all this
very true.
Come, and you can see for yourself now, the Western country, the Eastern country, the North and South, everyone is all by themselves now, whether we like it or not.
We can see those things happening. People,
we can see those happening now. The rich people and the poorer country, you can see all this kind of thing clearing out. You know, last time, because we don't see it, because we don't hear it. But now, when this thing happens, then you can see for yourself, you know, all these things are happening. This phenomena, you cannot stop it. It's just like anything. The wind is blowing in one direction. They're going to affect the whole world. Whether it's staying in the small country, the rich country, or the most advanced country, it's happening now.
Yeah.
You see?
Very true.
So the best is that it also happened to individual. Don't forget. Mm. Individual also feel affected by it. The country affected by it, individual also feeling it. So
definitely.
Everyone is all based on condition now. Just like you like to always say, karma, come out here, here, whatever, whatever. You don't know it, you don't feel it. But now you feel it, you see.
Yes,
people also, you know, passing away. I've passed been also, they pass away due to COVID, you see.
Yeah, very
you
common.
See, you know, those are one. Yeah, all these things are happening phenomena in the world, whether you like it or not. So the best is that we need to calm ourselves, do our meditation, whether we like it or not. We have to recollect it. And then from there, we move on to see what needed here. Okay?
Good.
Recently, you know,
okay.
I went to help my friend out with some food distribution, you see. You can
see
for yourself,
good.
The Indians are the worst hit in it.
Yeah,
we went to
Chupaca,
we just distribute only, you know.
They are very badly
start
affected.
Coming at around 11 o'clock already.
Yeah, because they are
very badly affected, you know. Sometimes you look at them, you really pity them, you see.
Yeah.
Yeah, we really pity them, you know. Sometimes you can see for yourself, this is already happening.
Yes,
sometimes you also have to thank us. At least I have still my house, I have still my food on the table, even though
that's what gratitude
there.
Is all
you
about.
See, these are all happening in the world, whether we like it or not. In good times, everybody, they don't understand this.
Yes.
They don't really understand doing in good times. But
because
now, when everything is
show
affected,
up. Yeah.
All the shops like ghost town now, all like Chinese, you know, in our areas, like Chinese New Year, when it's very quiet, huh? Only a few days, you know, everybody come back and become very, very, very happy because the lion dance start everywhere. But now it's very quiet, you know, you drive around, you to buy things, and you also feel very, very sad for all the shops that come. So all this thing, I think, all this phenomenal thing is also happening now. Whether you are rich, you are poor, whatever, you see all the dance, the tattoo, all start also get affected by all these things.
Everybody.
That's
is
why the best
affected.
Now, when we have the time, maybe it's time for us to sit down and do more meditation. Maybe the world makes it such a way, we have to sit down, do more meditation, and delete most of the negative news in the world.
Yes,
China can take care by itself. You can take care by yourself. The worst is what you yourself must take care of yourself.
Yeah,
the best to take care of
yourself
is to sit down and do meditation. You cannot be anything.
Because
those can take care of everyone can take care of yourself. You burst that, you take care of yourself and take care of family member. So when each family member start become mature and start to grow up, then from here we can see, you know, everybody start becoming calm, recollected, and that's what we have to do, is it? Other than you know, all these so many negative things are coming out. There's no point to live every day. There's tons of it, fixed or not fixed. We also don't know. Let the government change, let the government flow by itself. There's nothing we can do, is it? What we can do is to sit down, recollect ourselves, do a proper meditation. Just sit down, maybe half an hour. Maybe you can extend it now because we cannot go anywhere. What can you do? The most is the garden only, outside. Up and in and out only, the garden only. What can you do? You cannot go out. So sit down, do quietly, quiet in the house. Do more meditation. Next morning.
Yeah, that will help. If everybody can do
it. I really urge some of you who can wake up 7:15, come to my class. It's really do your world of good. Otherwise, you get very dementia. No? You get depression.
Yeah.
At least you build yourself up in the exercise way. Do it stretch yourself up and you do much better. At
keep
least you feel
occupied,
strong and healthy. Is it rather than, you know, depend on this and that. Okay, that's what I can share now, Baratheon. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Alan.
Thank you very much.
Baratheon, I actually got something to share, but I was thinking whether to share or not. But since Vincent called me, so I think I share. I got condition.
Yeah.
Like Vincent say. So, Baratheon, remember that day I was sick?
Yeah.
So
you and your mother, huh?
Yeah. So I actually was sick for 1 week. My mother was longer because she started first.
Oh, yeah.
So I came to your house, I took the Chinese medicine.
It
did help me, but then I still have to go through it for 1 week.
Because this one takes time. Especially the cough and the whatever throat on. My also 10 days. For me to slowly clear, it takes time on because this one is we are combining all the natural Chinese herbs or what to actually make our throat and our heaty part better. Then all this need enough rest. That's why I also stop some of the classes. So that I can rest. Otherwise, I continue to speak. My throat not enough rest. I cannot recover. It has happened before. Sometimes it takes me 2 weeks. But normal type of like flu or what, I recover very fast. But when it comes to throat, cough, and all those things, that one, I realize I cannot do much. Yeah, that one must be a virus. I don't know what. I sense it. For that one, I need rest. Then I need to take the kumquat and some of these herbs to soothe my throat. So last day gave me the kumquat was very good. I took for about a week plus and I recovered. So for your case, it take you how long? 2 weeks.
It took me 1 week. But then
very fast. 1 week.
Yeah, consider fast.
Consider fast.
But I, because I, when I went to the doctor, he only gave me 2 days MC. And then after that, he said, if my fever continue, don't come back and see me. Go to the hospital. Check.
Wow, like that.
So I don't want to do that because I already brought my mother to the hospital
and
she tested negative. I also don't want to go there.
Better.
Yeah,
he also scared of you.
Because before that, we thought it might be COVID, we quarantine her and myself, but it was very hard because how to quarantine 2 persons?
Correct, very difficult in the same house.
Anyway, I went back to work on the, I think on the fourth day, because I don't have MC, I don't want to go to the hospital.
Yes.
So halfway through, it started with a meeting first.
Oh, okay.
Online meeting. So I realized, because I was sick, no energy. I think that must be the reason. When I was going through the meeting, there was no thought at all, That means usually
very good.
A lot of thought on people talking out. I've been thinking how to answer him back.
Very good, Sadhu. So first time you experience that thing?
Not first time. Few years back also I experienced something and also same thing, I was sick. I realized no thought at all. And then whatever that person say, I can just answer back straight away without getting upset, because at one point the other person was like a bit agitated with me, he raised his voice and said, does it mean that you mean this? He was saying something. But I wasn't upset, Instead, I answered him.
This can happen.
No thought at all. Then after that, meeting finished already. I realized that happened. Then because I also noticed I cannot continue. Maybe I cannot work. So I took the other half day off lah.
Oh, okay.
Then following day, because still no MC ma, then,
yeah.
But I felt better. I felt better. Then when I switched on the computer,
yeah,
when I started working, I realized there was this very unhappy thought I was experiencing, you know.
Oh,
but, but I couldn't find any reason why I was having that unhappy thought.
Yeah.
That I'm the really, really, very unhappy one. Like,
yeah. You
like,
feel it.
Really like that. So, because it wasn't any thinking that I was thinking that lead to that feeling.
That feeling.
And I don't know the reason for it. But I can tell myself, never mind, it will pass. It will pass.
It will come to pass. Very good.
It will not last. And then I also tell myself that you just need to go through it.
Wisdom.
But not easy. Because
that's not easy. Then, I will explain the whole thing after you continue.
Then the following day, that unhappiness is still there. That means from the first day I experienced it to the second day, I think like that, all the time like that. But I know. And not easy to endure, but I know it will pass. Then on the third day, when I get up in the morning, I'm all gone, you know.
Sadhu, means you pass the test.
Pass
the test. Very good.
Sadhu. I feel happy, of course, because all gone. And then, Brother Dio, I think back. Then I remember there were times in the past when I, especially last time when I have endometriosis, that time very painful, right? Every time after maybe second day of pain, that feeling will come out already. I also don't know. But that time it come out also, I also don't know why it come out. Maybe because the pain too painful.
It's a karmic reaction. It's very intense. There's some like it. The timing is a test that's supposed to come out. That's why you cannot trace why it's like that. The unhappy thought. But it's a karmic one. Then it's a test. Then luckily, when the test comes, you have the understanding it will come to pass.
Because I remember what you always say, tell us.
Yeah, because everything is dependent originating. So it will come to pass. So don't have to worry about it. The mind need not hold on to it. Be like Vincent says, this is the reality. Reality means accept it and move. Don't be miserable over it. Do not allow delusion to condition you to fear, to create the negativity of unhappiness, because it will come to pass. So all these are the skillful means born of contemplation that you can apply. That it will come up as yoniso manasikara to help you. Then initially you have to do it 2-3 times before it really gone. That's why you mentioned just now on the second day when you wake up, it was still there, it was not completely rooted out yet. Then you continue to persevere, then develop the understanding. That's why after that, on the third day, the thing completely gone. Then you have joy. So this is for you to experience and understand. Cultivation is like that. Then anything else?
Just this.
Okay, then I explain the first part that you mentioned. You mentioned when you are sick in the meeting, you experience that type of mind, like no thought. So now you listen, it will help you. A lot of people don't understand. Because especially when you have the Dhamma, when we have the Dhamma, when we are sick, we actually have different understanding. Then what happens is, when you are very weak, you actually don't have that heedless thinking, because you cannot create thought that proliferate like when you are normal with the energetic heedless habitual tendency and thinking. We try to mute your mic first, otherwise there is a distortion. Afterwards, when you want to speak, you on back. So now you start to understand why all this thought process or thinking, they are so, we call it, it tap your energy and it make you very weak. Means it use up a lot of your life force, your mental energy, because sankhara activity, especially emotion, negativity of mind state, fear, worry, anxiety, unhappiness, envy, jealousy, or the unhappy mind, they all actually take up a lot of energy. So even to be angry, to be unhappy, emotional, depressed, or whatever, actually consume you, consume a lot of energy. It make a person very miserable. So this is what mindfulness is all about. When you can see and understand all this, because you are sick. So both occasions also, you are sick and you are weak. When you are sick and you are weak, the Dhamma can surface, because Dhamma don't need energy. Then you can like pay attention and do what you have to do. Then it's like your mind is quiet, peaceful. It doesn't create all those movements like last time, because you don't have the energy to do it. Then normally people who has the Dhamma, when they are sick, they are not unhappy. They can endure and they know this is a meeting I have to answer. That's why you respond better, faster. So the real cultivator, the difference is the sankhara thinking, heedless thinking, doesn't surface and affect them during normal day. So for your case, you have to work on the spiritual faculty, make it stronger so that it can help you overcome that problem when you are normal, healthy, and active. Can you follow? Yeah, Mayan. You go back and listen again. It will help you. Because when you are normal, you cannot have the condition to have that type of mind state, because the heedless thinking, everything will come back. But you have improved, no doubt about it. Except now you need to actually stabilize that spiritual faculty. Then contemplate more, reflect more, listen to Dhamma, and straighten your view more and more, so that all this understanding can actually stabilize your overall understanding to enable you to have more stable yoniso manasikara, or wisdom at the moment of sense experience, so that whatever happens, you will have the understanding that it will come to pass. This is the reality. So you will not argue with what is. You will not try to react and stir your mind like before. Then you will not like panic and like hurriedly want to know what is the answer to answer your colleague or your superior. No need. When you have the Dhamma, you listen attentively. Then when you have the understanding will manifest to answer. Then you will be very truthful and very sincere. When you don't understand, you say, I don't understand. Oh, sorry, I missed this out. I need to go back and rework it out or sort it out. So all this is very natural. But most of the time when you have the understanding and the Dhamma, you are very efficient and you cover most of your work or career path, so that you are able to answer all this or have a solution to whatever that is needed within your career environment. So these are the understanding that a lot of people do not have. So lucky today you bring it up, so it can help you. You go back and listen to me. It's very good. Salute to you, Manya. Then glad to hear that you and your mom has recovered.
Yeah. Actually, Radio, what you always advise us is very true. On the contemplation part, sometimes I, like you said, I need to reflect and contemplate, then only realize what happened.
Yeah.
And, if not, still confused, don't know what happened.
Correct.
Again.
Because it become like habitual tendency inside there, where you didn't reflect, you didn't contemplate. Then you don't feel for others. Then you cannot correct your mistakes. But when you reflect and contemplate, then you know, oh, there are more than one way to perceive something. So if I have Dhamma, understanding and wisdom, I can perceive it with wholesomeness. Then I do not panic. Then I can use skillful means and understanding to help me to overcome. Then I don't project my thought. I don't create the panic reaction, and I don't stir my mind. That's how you become more and more peaceful, more and more quiet. Then your mindfulness will pick up, because when you don't stir and don't react, your mental hindrance of sensual desire and ill will, means pleasant and unpleasant sense experience or like and dislike, will be less and less, because you can come to accept the reality. Like you mentioned, it will come to pass, the unhappy feeling or the fearful feeling or whatever, it will come to pass. And that is the reality, like Vincent said. We have to accept it and move on. So we complain also no use. Pandemic is a reality. New normal is a reality. So we need to reflect and contemplate as to how best we can contribute, how best we can help out, how best we can understand all this flow and echo move and develop more and more Dhamma understanding to be a blessing to all. So all this is very useful. So my nature rejoices with your marked improvement. Yeah, last time you were very rigid on and you don't know what contemplation is. But lately I realized you're able to develop it because it has helped you. And you see the benefit. Then you are going through very well because of your spiritual cultivation practices. All this has bring forth positive condition for you to progress, because you are more sincere now. You are more like attentive, and you're willing to like change. Develop the understanding of Dhamma to actually transform yourself for the better, change for the better. So all this is helping out. Then when you see your life improving, how you can also contribute towards your parents' needs and all those things. The other thing is, how you help your parent, take care of your parent. Wow, that parami very special. That is the one I think bring forth the causes. When you have filial piety, because you are not married and you take care of your parent very well. Actually, a lot of things you did for your parents, even your mother, bringing them to the hospital at this age is not easy. And you yourself is sick. So you run around and actually help to take care of whatever need, her requirement, her food, her medication, whatever life activity and attention. I think you are the main one, apart from your brother. So sadhu to you, Manyan. Very good. Anything else?
Thank you, brother. I also want to share. My brother also take care of my father.
Oh,
my brother take care of my father. I take care of my mother.
Wow, very good. So your share duty,
It's very good.
It's good parami for both of you. Yeah, when you help your parent, the parami is very high, where you have to take care of your parents, develop the understanding, yeah, to care for them, to like develop filial piety. Now is your time to repay their kindness, their goodness, their sacrifice. For the as parents, they actually did a lot of things for us as children. First, they give us life. Then they provide for us our needs, our basic need, our education, our whatever need. Then they also sacrifice a lot of their time. They do their duty to actually care for us and provide for us and sacrifice in many ways when we are sick and when we need things that only parent can actually bring forth. So all this, when you have understanding, gratitude, and the Dhamma, and you do it sincerely, the karmic friction, it will manifest and it will bring forth a lot of wonderful merits and wholesomeness. Well, when I young, I help out my family a lot. My father's business, the medical hall. Every day, I will wake up, sweep the floor, open the door, close the door at night, and clean up the place and help out in whatever I can. Help him to sell whatever things. Well, my father sometimes move around. So I need to look for him when I cannot handle a customer. So sometimes he is at the back or neighbor or somewhere. Because most of the time, if he sit alone at the shop, then he also very boring and he like to move around. So that's why, in that sense, I'm very close to my father and I help him a lot. And my mother, I help different way. When he need me to do other things like chop firewood or that, I will do other stuff. And whatever I can help out, I will help out. And they also know. And I realize because I did all those things, my karma like better. Not in the spiritual sense karma, it's like I am more lucky, more fortunate, and a lot of things go my way, especially when I was a kid, when I grew up in that area. So we used to play games or whatever. I like very lucky, and then most of the time, I really can have a lot of winnings. So that's how I saw the benefits of being filial piety and doing your duty well, especially helping out family members, parents, yeah, and brothers and sisters and all those things. So this is very wholesome, huh? Manya, started to you. Anything else? Yeah.
Well, dear, I also want to say thank you to you because remember last time you told me don't argue. But
yes, that one very important. Huh?
That one actually
it helped you a lot.
It helped me a lot. I've been trying to practice that.
Yes.
So what happened is, like you say, my father took care of us a lot, right?
Yes.
So actually, until now, he's still taking care of us.
So
that day, he told me he wanted to go to Giant hypermarket, buy groceries. And then he said, since nowadays, the government only allow one person to go.
Yes.
He will go. When I hear that, I think I want to bang on already.
Yeah, because your father is quite elderly, 80 plus.
Elderly, and because when he drive the car, very clumsy one,
Not steady.
Not steady. And then Giant is at LBT there.
Luckily you didn't argue with him.
I will argue already, rather dear. And when I think I'm justified, dangerous, what?
Of course, I
have to stop him. But this time I stopped myself, I was thinking how to convince him.
That one more important. That is a skillful means. It's not to argue with him, not to tell him no. No, cannot, you cannot go.
Yes. I will do that, definitely do that really last time. And when I do, I will think that I am right.
Yes.
But now I remember, brother, your sister.
Yeah, don't argue. Then resolve it amicably. Yeah, means
yes.
Apply noble eightfold path. Talk to him nicely. Papa, daddy, last time you do, now it's my turn. I think better I go because you actually it's the time for you to enjoy your life as a father. So you stay at home, you don't worry, I will go. Then he will be very happy.
Brother, you don't listen. Brother, I tell you.
Then what did you do? Yeah.
My father also, he thinks a lot. He tell me, he said, I have to go because government only need one person. You cannot go because I have been vaccinated.
He got his argument.
Yes. I asked brother, dear, how to argue like that?
Oh, okay.
Lucky it was 1 week because he told me he wanted to go on Sunday. Oh. It was Monday. So I see him doing preparation already, you know.
He
wrote at the newspaper because newspaper, you know, they advertise what is on sale.
Then
he started writing down everything he wanted to buy.
he went to that extent,
He's like that. I was just thinking, like, how to. But when he's writing also, I tell him, I say again, but I say nicely. Again, he said the same thing. You cannot go. I'm vaccinated. You are not vaccinated. Then on Friday, I think Friday night or Saturday, because he wanted to go yesterday. He said he wanted to go on Saturday. Friday night, I think I talked to him again. I say, Papa, you see, because every day you go out for your morning walk, okay, man. My brother also go out to do his banking, but I have been sitting in a house. I'd be cool. If I go out to the market
valid.
Now,
very valid, yes. Very good.
I don't know, maybe he also take into consideration what I
because you have been sitting at home. So he allow you to go.
Then he say, okay, you go lah.
Happy. Relief.
Really.
Yeah, sadio.
He also 90% deaf. The people horn him, he cannot hear. I tell you.
That one is very bad. If people horn him, cannot hear, then
fine. Cannot. I told him, if you go, I will be sitting at home the entire time worrying
about him.
That's
very good. Very skillful of you to tell him in such a nice way.
No argument about it. After that, I reflect and then I said, Wan Yuan, you changed your thinking.
You
end up him went down already.
Rejoice.
And by him up and down, then he will also get upset.
So now you start to see that there are more than one way to perceive a situation and resolve a situation. You have to do it with understanding, resolve it amicably, and using skillful means, wholesome technique, and sincere speeches, which you have done well. Very good. Your explanation managed to convince him.
But one more thing, I make sure because he wrote down the list already, right?
Very easy,
He said must follow, exactly.
Very good.
Because my buying style and his buying style different.
That's why you must accord and flow with him. Don't argue with him.
If I follow my style, I can't be sure gonna hunt down somehow.
Very good. Very good. This is good. Dhamma sharing. This is real life Dhamma, Sadhu.
It's all because of you, you say Pachanhatate. After I hear already, I recollect. I really have been arguing with everybody.
That's why when we reflect and we contemplate and willing to accept our shortcoming or mistake, we will change. We will become a better person. We will improve. And that is what Dhamma is all about. Straightening your view. Change the way you perceive things and do things. Change for the better. Change with understanding, with wholesomeness, no more negativity. So all these are very beautiful Dhamma. Wow, very good. Huh? Certain word you pick up very fast. Don't argue with people. Then like what I used to say, to check yourself, whenever you are not peaceful and not happy, the evil roots are there. So all these are very important. So your skillful means, like what I used to say, whatever happened, it will come to pass. So why worry about it? It will change, come to pass. Then it will evolve another condition. So all this understanding is going to be useful and helpful. So you have really proved that it can be applied to real life situation and example. Sadhu to you,
You didn't say that, I wouldn't realize that because
But you also skillfully pick it up and apply. And not easy. Not many people can apply.
You know why I apply or not?
Why?
Because I've been thinking, I listened to Dhamma so many years, but I still feel,
correct.
Stressed and
correct.
Why is it like
one,
that?
That one really make you think, make you. Then you decide to change. I used to share with you all, if you continue with your old way, you will never change. Because your views, your opinion, your conditioning are so rigid, habitual tendency. It's only when we know that this one is not conducive for our present life. So what we must do is, we must change the way we do things, the way we understand things, the way we perceive things. Otherwise, our life won't change. Change for the better. Well, Sadhu, today you touched on many good things. Sadhu, Manya.
Sadhu, actually, I learned from you, Brother Theo.
But also your own initiative to change. Yeah, earlier on, you can't. For many years, I remember, you can't. Then later on, the last 2-3 years, you change a lot. You become very different. Maybe pandemic also help. Give you the condition.
Because I really think that there's nothing wrong with me, ma. Nothing wrong. Because like if I argue with my father because I don't want him to go out, it's correct, what?
According to you, according to your thought, like your boss, and your office colleague, how they make you miserable, you get angry. They're like, he do this to me, or she did this to me. So all this is from the thought process, sankhara, our conditioning, our views, our opinion of things. So when we continue to perceive things with negativity, emotion, and unhappiness, we are not happy. That's why the question to ask is, are you happy? Are you peaceful? If you are not happy and not peaceful, something is wrong. The Dhamma is not there. Sadhu, very good. Very good. Much improvement, Sadhu to you.
Hopefully lah.
You have definitely changed and improved.
Sometimes I also don't feel like sharing, because I say I made an improvement, but actually maybe not lah.
No, this one you must share, because this one can help a lot of people. Well, when you hear from others, you also benefited. That's why people share. You look at all the kayamita, especially those who are sharing very often. Even Brother Song, Po Cheng, Chin Hao, Alicia, Ding Bi, and many people. They really share. Even Vincent just now also shared. So each and every one of us, we have our own story. Our own, what they call ups and downs when we go through life, when we go through our career, and also our cultivation. So when you start to share, you look at Miss Lee also, she progressed a lot, changed a lot. Chin Hao was the same. So all these are very beautiful. Even Elsie, Karen, Tammy, and many, even Pamasuri, Bertil, and many Kayamitas. Even Christina, they improve in their own way. So for your case, manager rejoice, Sadhu to you. Thank you so much for your good sharing.
Hello. Yes. I want to share something like Sister Manyan share.
Ah, Sada, very good.
For past few months, everything is just you. It's normal, and I just follow, the flow, sort of flow. Then suddenly, when I register for this AZ vaccine, then when coming quite near the appointment to have the vaccine, I don't know why suddenly I listened to quite a few news about the about the
the social media news,
yes, about blood clot and all that.
Suddenly
I have fear,
Yeah.
Usually quite confident and everything. Suddenly I got fear.
So this is a good test. This is a good test. Yeah, a lot of Ayamita also used to share with me. Those who still have this type of reaction means your Dhamma is not stable.
Yes.
Because the Buddha makes it very clear. Take care of virtue, take care of your karma, then you don't have to worry about all this.
So I wonder why, how come I got fear, AstraZeneca, I'm taking AstraZeneca.
Yeah.
So I feel, don't know what happened. Then the next day, I'm supposed to go for the vaccine. The night, I contacted Brother Sui'an, and asked for help to see whether he got any way to take another vaccine or not. Because my heart not feeling very well, so I'm not taking AstraZeneca. Because this coming Tuesday, I'm supposed to go for a CT scan for my heart, Is it okay to take this AstraZeneca? Then Brother Sui'an said, you better go because he cannot do anything.
Don't have to worry.
So just before I went, I suddenly think of the triple gem I've been practicing for so long. I never asked for anything really. Or so I passed the triple gem. So he said, if this vaccine suitable for me, may I take the vaccine smoothly? Please something to, if I really, this vaccine not suitable for me, something make me like, don't take it successfully, After I pray already, after I just talk to the triple gemmers, surprisingly, my mind really changed, Fear is gone completely. Just mindfully, I just go happily, mindfully, go for the vaccine, mindfully, came back, and nothing wrong.
Very good.
I feel really the transformation of the triple gem, the mind, really after the prayer.
When you have faith, it changes you. That fear, worry, anxiety come from delusion. Because this social media thing, they actually condition and influence a lot of people to panic when you don't have a strong foundation of understanding. Then they will actually create a lot of what we call anxiety, fear. That insecurity, because if you didn't understand the whole thing, then all this will trickle in. So now maybe I make use of this condition to explain to you so that other Kayamita may also understand. As a Dhamma practitioner, we have to understand when we take care of karma, when we have our parami, our life is taken care of. If it's meant to be, will be. If it's not meant to be, it will not be. So as long as you take care of karma and you have faith, like your case, you can invoke the power of merits and also invoke triple gem to give you that guidance and the understanding. Then your faith strengthened. So if you can do that, you don't have to worry, because whatever will be. If it's not meant to be, something will happen and you cannot go to the vaccination center. But if it's meant to be, everything will go on smoothly and well. So what is more important is I always ask people to develop understanding. That's why many Kayamita call me and find out, is it true whether AZ is very dangerous, the side effect is very strong. Partly it's true, side effect is stronger and all those things. But what is important is we have to find out more in-depth facts, not rumor. What is written, you have to read between the line and understand. So what is the purpose of vaccine? Early on, because of COVID-19, a lot of new cases, it spread very fast, is because this virus is very, very contagious. It has become pandemic. Then the danger is 8% of those who contacted COVID-19 can develop severe stage 4 and stage 5, what we call condition. Stage 4, stage 5 means you have to admit to Sungai Buloh. Then if stage 5, they put you in the ICU. They tube you and do a lot of things, which is very serious. And chances, probability of death is quite high. So we're talking about 8%. So what happened is they come out with this vaccine, which can actually take care of the critical stage 4 and stage 5 situation. So even first jab, it seems 90% up to 99% will not have severe stage 4 and stage 5 effect. Of course, there are some who still contact COVID-19, but they are either asymptomatic or just simple symptom, stage 1, stage 2, or stage 3, not serious. Yeah. So that is the advantage. So from 8% risk, it goes down to less than 1%. Then when it comes to blood clot, it's almost negligible. It seems it's only about 10 or 1 out of a million to have that situation. And there is even less probability than a normal stroke patient. Normal stroke patient probability is so much higher. So when you understand all this, you will know that there is no reason to panic. Unless, of course, you have a medical history, you tend to have allergy problem and other things, or certain type of medication or drug may not be suitable for you, or you have a condition, then maybe you should seek medical advice from doctors who understand. Otherwise, nothing to fear. That's why I went with my wife, then my daughter recently also. We just went through it. Nothing is meant to be, will be, because I look at the appointment day at that time. At my age, I supposed to get it soon, but then I saw the opening for AZAC. So I went in and I got it with my wife, same date some more. So I decided to stick to it. I don't want to change. But some, they wanted Sinovac, they change. But never mind, depend on your understanding. So after that, I went for it. But for me and my wife, we went through it very smoothly, and for me, I got no problem at all. In fact, I was doing so well, I don't even have any side effect. I come back, I'm not tired also, but I'm very hungry, very hungry. Then my wife rested for the first day only. Then after that, she is normal. She go about doing her own usual thing. So all this is because I think we also have the understanding and the faith and the what they call good condition. Now, the other thing I want to add on is I think maybe Dr. Jayanta's is it therapeutic or therapeutic? He gave me and my wife this medication to actually help out before vaccine, one day before and that day, and the one day after for us to take in the morning. That one, I believe, helped because I heard from another Kayamita, I think, who took. They also don't have problem. So maybe the Hanta one that vaccine help. antidote, sorry, not vaccine, my doctor said. He said homeopathy, yeah, homeopathy, yes. Antidote. Because according to Dr. Jayanta, I think he shared on the website. He said, Virgil, as a doctor, I can tell you some of this vaccine, the dosage is very strong, and the effect is very strong. That's why a lot of people actually have the side effect, the first 2 days especially, some 3 days, the fever, and also the headache. So they're very tired, so they need to rest. So all these are the reaction, so it's normal. So hopefully with this sharing, more people understand. But the understanding is, if you can have the vaccine early, it protect you from severe, what we call COVID-19 disease or problem. So if you can avoid the admission, you already protected. Otherwise, once you get admitted, if your oxygen level is low and you have problem, they will put you into ICU, then they will tip you and do a lot. At that time, it really nothing much they can do. And I was told a lot before on admission, they died recently. That's why the number of deaths, because some without symptoms, and by the time they realize what happened, it's too late already. So you should have your oximeter to check your oxygen level. Then if it's really something critical, then look for alternative medicine. There is some Chinese medicine and even ivermectin or whatever. Then if you need to admit, of course, you have to make a decision. Admit and they don't allow you to take all those medicine, then you may have problem. So it's a choice you have to make. So each and every individual, you will need to assess on your own. But don't wait for stage 4 and stage 5, because by then too late. So what is important is, if you can get yourself vaccinated early, please, my advice is do so, unless you have a situation. Otherwise, monitor yourself, take care. Stay safe, like Vincent suggests, meditate more, stay at home, quiet, don't run around. Okay, Karen?
Yes, Ratio. So okay. When I went there, I was thinking, I told the doctor about my situation. If your doctor says,
yes. Yeah.
You are not supposed to take, then I won't take. Sometimes yes. The doctor says, don't wait anymore, you better take now.
Yeah, I think the advice is good. Yeah, you better take now.
So I took, and then surprisingly, no fever, nothing.
Yeah, very good. Sadhu. Yeah. Wow, miss, you are a good parami. Sadhu.
Yes, yeah, thank you. Then some more, very happy after taking, no problem. And then very surprisingly, that really my mind changed, and no, I'm very calm and no thinking, although just aware.
Sadhu. Miss, and aware, the triple jam. Have given you that strong faith.
Yes, really. It's very
the
meaningful.
Confidence, the confidence. Sadhu, yes. Very good.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Sadhu. Okay.